Traditionally, there's not a staff report per se. I'm certainly happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, I believe Adam and Omar both are present and prepared to speak with you.
Okay. Mr. Zinn?
Marty, do you have a slide of the most recent concept plan?
I do not have a concept plan here. I have it upstairs.
It's okay. It's okay. It's not essential. So tonight, as required, I'm here to speak about the Claremont South major modification, specifically on the eastern tract. And the fact that, hey Marty, would it be possible for you to get that slide? Do you mind? I think it would, just to illustrative purposes. Just so, you know, visually we have an idea of what we're talking about here, because not everyone has seen this.
Should we do our next item quickly while we're waiting on that?
Well, yeah, what?
We have maps.
Do you need one of these?
Yeah, those are not the one he's
referring to. Okay.
Right. He's talking about the latest version.
Yes.
Well, but that. Are you looking for something that's showing the school? Or showing a possible school that is today?
Showing the
apartments.
The multifamily.
Not this.
Right.
Which is not how it's going.
Yeah, they're not going that. That's not what you're
saying. No, but it's okay. I mean, as long as we show the parcel of land, I think that's fine.
The parcel of land?
Yeah, I can kind of mouse around it. Site plan would be great. Yeah, love that. Right on the right. Okay. Okay, great. Thanks, Marty. Okay, thank you for your time. Mm-hmm. So, what we're talking about is leaving this existing property as is and modifying this property, as most of you have heard, with a small commercial site, a school site, and a multifamily site right here. So tonight I come before you to explain why we're not looking to continue to build approximately 15% land trust houses. And as I've said to you before several times, the land trust model for us right now, specifically in this market, is not sustainable. So we have the other option in the town of Carrboro of building 25% size limited housing. And in our multifamily component, which would sit right over here, that's exactly what we're planning on doing. We would be interested in, right now we have approximately 25% of the units, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, it's somewhere around 22, 24 units right here, which are part of the whole 92 lot subdivision. And we'd like to maintain some size limited units over here, but due to the fact that we'll be having additional multifamily over here, take up some of that size limited capacity with the multifamily component. And you know, I know a lot of people are here to speak tonight about, you know, reasons why this project shouldn't occur. A lot of people have already made up their mind, but ultimately, one of the benefits that I will address while I'm up here is the fact that none of these two parcels currently do meet the new Jordan Lake stream water requirements.
You need to restrict yourself to talking about the housing.
Okay, all right, Dan.
Thank you.
All right. So the multifamily, I guess that's it, Dan. You're right. The multifamily will stay right here, and we're looking to combine our size limited along with our multifamily this location.
So where the multifamily would go, how many dwelling units, or you have, that shows single family lots in the same location?
Yeah, we don't have the appropriate concept.
No, that's fine, but approximately how many lots does it, I mean, you know, in other words, is it occupying a footprint similar to what, 6, 7, 8 of those lots, or what?
Right now, Mark, we have 92 units right here. About 55 right here, about 37 right here, and this is approximately, this area right here is approximately 14 acres. The area of multifamily in this location, which will be somewhere between 70 and 80 units, will occupy approximately 7 to 8 acres.
Okay.
And the footprint's the same. You keep in that area. The footprint
the footprint is the same. I mean, we're basically using the same area here, except for we're not building single family. We're creating multifamily, a school site, as well as a commercial site right here.
So it doesn't extend further?
No. Right now, as it's designed, it does not extend further. That's correct. The new stormwater, the new stream buffers will actually reduce the stream buffer and shove it further to the east slightly. But new stormwater rules are, the new stormwater rules are more stringent, and they haven't been finalized yet, but I know they're a required payment in lieu, because most people don't meet stormwater requirements.
Are you saying that the stream buffer is going to be reduced?
I'm sorry, I got us on the wrong topic. I'm sorry. So, I'm sorry.
Well,
okay.
Not by my account, Sammy, but it will be. But right now, we're not planning on extending into that area.
We'll hear about stream buffers when the full application comes.
That's correct.
When and if.
Well, right. And in terms of the size limited you're actually going to provide way more than 25% size limited.
That's correct.
Units, is that right? You're going
way
over that threshold.
I'd say that most of those units would be under the 1350 threshold.
It's something that this board has discussed before, but of course the whole policy, our whole system, our whole policy would for example, if somebody were building a development similar to like Cedar Court, which is over here on North Greensboro Street, it's 50 or 60 units, they're all 1,000 square feet. But if that were a private developer's proposal, the ordinance essentially doesn't require them to do anything special on this front. Is that right? I mean.
Yes. They would have to kind of codify within the plans that X number,
They would have to enumerate or identify which units specifically were intended to meet the ordinance requirement, but I do understand what you're saying. They effectively would be well in excess of it.
Okay, so they would show on there, this unit never to be expanded beyond X square feet or something like that, just
correct.
So people don't add a fifth story or something. Okay. But so that's relevant to know in this context. Let me ask you one other question, Omar. You know, at the one possibility that I would like to ask you whether you would be willing to consider the possibility of working with a low to moderate income housing tax credit developer such as DHIC or a similar entity, if they were interested in buying that component of it to do some type of tax credit development, so that we could still have an affordable housing, more of an affordable housing component to this development. Is that something that you'd be willing to consider?
At this point, that's not something that we're interested in, Mayor.
Okay. All right.
How much is the, in the, your memo in this about the modification request, how much is the market rate price, or would it be for the size limited? Is it different than what you proposed before when the size limited were just on the, I guess that's the west side?
On the eastern
you
track?
You have size limited on both, right?
Yes.
Yeah, more so, on that, on the east side.
So we, all of our size limited is concentrated here and some here and some here, but all on the western track. It's the western track. Now we're talking about reducing some of the size limited here. So if there were 60 units here, there would be 15 size limited units here, 25%.
25%.
And if there are, you know, 80 here, there would be 20. I mean, all 80 would be size limited, and they wouldn't be expanded, but
they'd be designated as
size limited. 20 would be on this side right here.
And what do you know? What this would be the market price?
Right now, we're still part of this has to do with financing, bank financing, as to whether or not we're interested in building multifamily or townhomes, condos, just in terms of a community owning its land and jointly. From everything I've heard and everyone I've talked with, that's a difficult financial hurdle to accomplish. So it's either going to be townhomes or multifamily, and the multifamily in that case would be rentals.
Okay. I don't think the infrastructure is there.
Okay.
Can we just summarize? You're increasing the density, and you're going to have more size limited, but there's a designated amount that's going to meet the proportion required for this increase in density.
Correct. There's approximately 37 single family here. There'll be no more single family units over here. There'll be approximately 70 to 80 multifamily units. They'll be smaller in size, smaller in the total number of bedrooms, but overall there'll be somewhere between 35 to 40 more total units. This is 92. Now we're up to around 135, somewhere like that. So we are increasing the density. This PUD currently allows everything that we're proposing in its current zoning. We're not looking at rezoning anything.
Okay.
The townhomes or apartments that you're talking about on this side, would they be two bedroom or three bedroom or?
They'd be mostly two bedroom. There'd be some one bedroom and some three bedroom, but mostly two bedroom.
Omar, am I remembering correctly that you didn't require a rezoning initially for Claremont South either? Is that correct? That
Claremont South did require.
Well, there was once Claremont 2 and 3 or whatever. Did we rezone at one point?
Claremont South required a rezoning from R15, R20, R15/R20 to R10.
Okay.
To get the number of units within the PUD. I mean, we actually had four less units. We had 96 units initially, and we moved down to 92 units, but we had to do the rezoning specifically for the PUD.
Okay, that's right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. We may have some more questions for you in a few minutes.
All right.
I'm going to hear from a couple of people who are signed up to speak on this.
Thanks, yes.
The first person signed up is Rob Watson. If you have something to say on the affordable housing component, please come up. And then Lori Gershon.
I'm not a lawyer. I didn't really understand very much at the beginning of the meeting. Part of me being here is to try and understand the process. I'm a Carbery taxpayer, and I want to basically comment on the Claremont South development plans. First of all, I thank the aldermen.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, we're really restricted here to hearing just specifically about issues relating to the affordable housing component of the development. So. You may continue, but I want you to focus on that issue.
Thanks. I've got really two points to make. One, I want you, as the board and the mayor, to give due diligence to this process. And the second part, I want to make sure that the developer is transparent in all this development. For the first part, the due diligence, this is very dense new development plans that were just discussed previously. Originally, in 2009, there were 96 dwellings with community home trust housing. In 2012, there was modifications. They dropped the community home trust housing, added commercial property. I think from what he's heard just now, we're not having 96 dwellings, we're having 135 dwellings, including a large number of rental apartments, up to about 80, having additional commercial space, plus or minus a school, plus or minus parking. This is a very dense development. And it's only been able to do because of his offsetting density against the separate original Claremont development over the road. The second part about transparency. The developer, and he is obviously the de facto homeowners association until all the development is developed, told us about these plans. We were not told about this meeting. The meeting's changed on the agenda on several occasions up to this. Please ask the board to tell, or how do we know how this development is going to be developed. I know I'm time limited. This is not a retrial of the case for Claremont South, but this is not the original plans for Claremont South, nor are there, I believe, modifications to the original plans. This is a new development. I know I've got little time. I hope the Alderman and the Mayor continue to believe in the development goals set out in Carolina Vision 2020. Thanks. All right.
Thanks. Lori Gershon, and then Roel Daniels.
Good evening. I'm Lori Gershon, and I'm a resident of Claremont, I guess you'd call it north, across the street. And I've been a resident of Claremont for approximately 3 years. And I want to tell you why Claremont works. Claremont works because it's an integrated community where single-family homes and affordable homes through the Community Home Trust, as well as attached townhomes, sit side by side in a beautiful area that fits organically within the environment that surrounds Bolin Creek. Claremont Phase 2, as it is now proposed, is the antithesis of that. What started out as 37 single-family homes, which included affordable housing, now crams in 80 multifamily homes, a school for 750 students, plus approximately 100 faculty and staff, and a 20,000 square foot commercial space. That's two stories.
Mark, excuse me.
Yes.
Mark, can we keep the speakers on the affordable housing?
You do need to focus on the affordable housing.
And I am, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
Now,
so
this
not,
is
not
how
the
is
school,
this
not the parking
related?
The
because this
housing.
Is all on a mere 14 acres, and I want you to look at this because it's not integrated. It is not part of the residential area. It is segregated to the commercial use of the community. And affordable housing does not mean putting the poor people in a warehouse of apartments with the commercial side of the development. Now, over the past 2 months, this proposal has changed radically. Last week, the agenda item was for you to consider whether this should be expedited. This week, it's whether it should be affordable housing. Back in April, and I will refer you to the staff report that's dated April 17, 2012, on page 10, intended use of the commercial space. I will quote, there is no, quote, active plan for the commercially zoned portion of the site. Therefore, the current and ongoing use of this portion of the site shall be single family dwelling, end quote, 2 months ago. I appreciate that you are faced with these difficult decisions as elected officials. And I would just ask that you look at this carefully and remember what it means to have affordable housing. It doesn't just mean someplace that you can afford to pay the bills. It means to give everybody a chance to live in this beautiful part of Claremont that I get to live in. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Roel Daniels and Kristen Capdon.
Raul Daniels. I'm a resident of Claremont as well. I've lived in the Carrboro area for about 14 years. I'm a business owner locally, and I won't be as eloquent as my neighbor, but I do want to impress upon the Board of Aldermen the need for transparency in the process. I'm concerned that there's an artful use of technical loopholes to change the zoning to then open up opportunities to further change the density without appropriate review. I'm mostly concerned, though, about the increased traffic on Homestead.
How you need to relate your comments to the affordable housing specifically.
Yes. The dense population in the housing, well, multifamily housing, and I believe they will be apartments. The Zins have already mentioned that they will own several of these for rental property. I believe that this will attract a larger volume of traffic on Homestead, and there'll be an increase that Homestead cannot handle. I'm concerned about the large parking lots associated with the affordable housing, which will be apartments, and the effect on Bowling Creek. I enjoy that environment quite a bit. My family and I enjoy it. I know all of us in this room do. I'm ultimately concerned that this is going to change the environment into something that it was not originally intended for. Just on the eastern end of Homestead, the apartments, the retreat apartments, were up for consideration, the student housing project, and I am very concerned this is what this will ultimately turn into and not really be as it was intended for those that are have challenges with income.
Thank you, Mr. Daniels. All right. Kirsten Crapnell, and then Dennis Haynes. Thank you very much. Dennis Haynes, we can always take written comments on any of this, please. We'll make sure we incorporate them into record. And let me say, while this gentleman is coming up, Mr. Haynes is coming up, that, you know, I appreciate that maybe at some point the sort of title or of this agenda item was changed. I want you to understand that sometimes we are pressed in June for we only have so many meetings before we typically go on a break for most of July and August. So our agenda is a crowded agenda tonight, partly because of that, because we're trying to work a lot of things in. However, I want you to be really clear that we're still talking about the town of Carrboro, and that in terms of transparency from your town government, you absolutely can expect that, and we're going to be really clear about when future meetings happen that are on the more detailed aspects of this proposal. Until Mr. Zinn puts his formal development application in, though, it's impossible for us to say when exactly those meetings will be. But you know, we will definitely be in touch, and there is a formal notification process for all property owners within, I believe, 1,000 feet of this site as well. We make it a regular matter to be in touch about any future public hearings on this site with the Homeowners Association listservs, email listservs in the vicinity. So I am very optimistic that you will have plenty of notice about when the time arises for.
I guess I do have one quick question. I'm sorry.
Yes.
We have not been given.
She'll have to come.
Wait. Just say it.
If we have not been given notification up to this point, how can we trust that we're going to get notification in the future?
I don't know how you can trust that, other than by the experience of having it happen. You're welcome to, and anybody who has a specific interest in any agenda, any particular agenda item, can let the town clerk know. We also maintain an email list for notification related to any particular topic, so.
Typically don't give notice.
For review.
Affordable housing review.
This phase of this hearing is not something that normally requires the same type of notice that I was talking about in terms of 1,000-foot notification. That will happen in connection with a public hearing on the full development.
Once there's a formal application for a modification of the CUP by the UDO and also by state law, there's required to be notice to surrounding property owners, notice in the newspaper, and Carbro's own ordinances require even greater notice than the state regulations would require. So notice will go out when that time comes, but it hasn't come yet.
The developer isn't obligated to let us know that?
The developer is actually the party who supplies the notifications that we mail out, yes.
Right.
So it developer carries the burden on that. Yes, sir. I'm sorry to keep you waiting.
Thank you for clarifying that.
I'm sorry. I was recognizing
Mr.
Haynes.
Thank you, Mayor.
Hold on. I was recognizing Mr. Haynes.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Mr. Haynes.
Thank you for letting me speak. With the increase in affordable housing units, it seems to me that one of the things that's been missing through all of these different changes to the zone is what's the baseline that the different roads can handle, so that you know that as I know you get data that says Homestead will increase by 200 cars an hour or Stratford will increase by 100 cars an hour, but what's the design amount of traffic that those roads were originally intended to handle so that there's a baseline for purposes of decision making, so that decision making is based on some type of data and not just connector policy or affordable housing density, et cetera. Thank you for listening.
We'll take that into account. Thank you, Dennis. Diane Robertson and then Julie McClintock.
I think my comments probably are better heard when you discuss the actual application.
All right.
They have to do with the school and in lieu of.
We will get to that issue probably this fall. Thank you. Julie McClintock.
Good evening. Julie McClintock for Friends of Bowling Creek. So I was going to give this to you under petition time or comment period as a kind of for your information. I think it's good background information to keep in mind for your affordable housing discussions, but I can't say that the environmental is directly related, so I would like your permission to just make a few points as background. Is that all right?
I'm going to stop you when you get too far from the relevant topic. How about that?
All right. As you know, Friends of Bowling Creek's mission is to protect Bowling Creek watershed, which has been identified by the state DWQ as a 303D impaired stream. Carbro and Chapel Hill have received EPA grants to improve the health of the creek, and our community greatly values this natural treasure. And as you know, coming up, there are some more Jordan Lake standards to be met. And Carbro is in the Upper New Hope subwatershed that has the largest nutrient reduction requirements.
Okay.
So here's a couple, a point that's kind of interesting I wanted to raise to your attention. While detailed plans have not been submitted, Friends of Bowling Creek is concerned about the administration of the stormwater calculations.
Julie, I'm really concerned that you're putting, I'm sorry, Mark, you're putting us in a vulnerable legal position. That this is not a public hearing on that project. This is
I'm not talking about that project. I'm talking about any project. I just have a point to make on your administration for this. A few years back, you offered developers incentives to do commercial development, and current policies would not require the developer to do sizing and stormwater calculations until after the permit is submitted. So this is a general thing, Jackie. I'm not.
Well, but how does it relate to the affordable housing?
Well, I was going to make this statement at the beginning as a citizen. So if you don't want to take citizen comment, then I guess I can come back another night. But I thought that you all were prepared to take citizen comment, and that's why I signed up under petitions.
I see. Well,
I just have one or two points, further points to make, if that be all right.
This isn't about Claremont at all.
It isn't. No, it's about stormwater and keeping in mind what.
I can't. Well, you can't hear it right now. Then
you can't. Can. All right.
I appreciate.
I'll send you written comments.
Thank you, Julie. All right. Is there any further discussion that members of the board want to have with Mr. Zinn about this issue, about the affordable housing component of this development? Yes.
Just I have one question. For one of the points made by one of the speakers was the question of basically the spirit of inclusionary zoning, of having affordable housing next to more affluent housing. Could you speak to that in this project and what you're proposing? Are you going to be segregating the affordable housing?
According to what I've discussed, we're planning on having size-limited housing here and size-limited housing over here, so it won't be segregated. I also just like to respond to the allegations of lack of transparency, even though I know it's not directly on the affordable housing topic. This is an issue that people have raised. I feel like somehow residents have gotten in their mind that we've come here, we were coming here this week or next week to seek approval of this project. And there are many people who are not familiar with the process in Carrboro, which is a long and lengthy and very scrutinized process. All of the stormwater will be calculated. All of the impervious surface will be accounted for. People still do not know at this point even how we're planning on handling stormwater, whether it be impervious concrete, subsurface retention, recycling of water for flushing toilets.
And so we're not going to get into it.
Okay. So I just want to say that, you know, I'm sorry that people do feel that there's been a lack of transparency, but ultimately my brother and I will be sending out a letter shortly to explain the process, to explain where things are at. But ultimately I felt that through this entire time that we've tried to be nothing but transparent and clear with what our intentions are. So we still do not know whether or not we're going to be building townhomes or apartments. That is still not decided. Yet somehow somebody knows what our plans are. Okay? A lot of it has to do with bank financing, which is a little bit different these days. So I just wanted to clarify. I'm sorry to get off topic.
No, that's okay. It's not, you know, it's not completely off topic. And I think you'd be wise to trying to open up some new ways of talking with or meeting with residents in the area. It seems clear to me that there's a lot of kind of miscommunication or people making assumptions on different sides, and that there would be a significant opportunity for sharing some more information.
Yes, but I am here tonight because this is required.
I understand
that. Come here before you to discuss affordable housing.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm here to do.
And that's all we're here to, that's the problem we're here to deal with tonight. Okay, I have one last person I want to hear from. Just walked in, Robert Dowling.
Sammy, did you get your question answered?
Okay. I heard that they're going to be mixed alongside the more expensive units. And so this being a review, you know, I'm supportive of that and hope that.
That's not what we heard.
You said there's going to be size limited on this side, and there's going to be size limited on this side also.
I have a comment on that too, but let's hear from Robert.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I apologize for my casual attire. I wasn't planning to be here tonight. You know me, I show up in jeans, but I was at home watching on TV, eating my pasta, and I just felt I needed to come down and just point some things out.
Good for you.
As you all know, I do affordable housing, and we don't make comments on development applications, good or bad. Never have, never will. That's not my role. My role for this town is to make comments about affordable housing within developments. And as you all may recall, Claremont South originally was approved with, I may have my numbers a little bit wrong, I think that by right number of units they could do was 75. And they made use of the density bonus, and I think they went up to 92,
yep.
something like that. Omar knows numbers. But there's a quirk in the town's ordinance that said of those extra I think it was 96, 75, 96. Of the extra 21, 15 of them had to be affordable. 15 of the additional 21. Even back in 2003 and 2004, when the real estate market was very strong, I don't think, and I'm not privy to the numbers, I don't think you can make enough money on 6 additional market rate units to make up for the losses you'll incur on 15 affordable units. That never made sense. And I think I've said that to you all before. And I don't think Adam and Omar realized what they had agreed to. And so they had to come back and change it. Because financially it didn't make any sense. They couldn't do it. No one would do it. And so they came back and they said, we can't do the affordable units. We're going to do the size limited units, which is what the ordinance requires. The ordinance says you have to 25% size limited, or you can do 15% affordable. And they came back earlier this year, I believe, to do 25% size limited units. And now they're changing it again. So I have no comments about what they're doing here. It made absolute sense that they made that change because financially they couldn't afford to do what they agreed to do. My point, I'm putting down my fork and quickly taking my shorts off, putting my jeans on, taking my t-shirt off, putting my nice shirt, is to point out that in June of 2009, I came before the board and said the affordable housing ordinance needs work. In the fall of 2010, I think I came back and said the affordable housing needs work. I think sometime in 2011, I did the same thing. I lose track. This epitomizes what I was talking about. They're doing exactly what the ordinance allows them to do with regard to affordable housing. I have no comments about anything else. But from an affordable housing standpoint, they're not required to do any affordable housing. And they can do size-limited apartments. Apartments don't exceed 1,150 square feet typically anyway, as you pointed out, Mr. Mayor, with regard to the apartment complex down the road. They're not required to do it. It's still a tough real estate environment. They're not going to do anything they're not required to do. They're in the business to, they need to make money. We want them to make money. We want developers to make money. I can tell you that. Because I've worked with developers who are not making money. And there's a big tower right on the edge of town that is still very uncertain what's going to happen over there. So I'm going to not be long-winded as I can sometimes be and just tell you that I came down here because this epitomizes for me why we need to really look at in a comprehensive way affordable housing ordinance so that the town's ordinance will be effective in generating affordable housing. Size restricted, I think, is better than nothing. And I think the town put that in place back in 01 or 02 when I was around for that. And those will be small and they'll be less expensive, but they won't be affordable. Mm-hmm. And there's no restriction on them staying affordable forever either. So those are my only comments. I appreciate your listening to me, and I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Robert.
Robert, are you suggesting that we have a requirement like Chapel Hill has to guarantee?
Well, that's a discussion that I've had with the attorney who's not here tonight. So I can say whatever I want, I guess.
We'll find out what you say, though.
But his partner's here, so I'm not going to do that. It worked in Chapel Hill. All I can say, Sammy, is it worked for Chapel Hill for a long time before they even had an ordinance. It was just a policy, and it was in place. And Mike didn't think that was supportable. And that's really all I...
Okay.
That's where it stands now.
I want to make one comment and follow up. I forget why I did this, but Robert will recall sometime last winter I had this crazy moment of digging back into our minutes back to 2009 and tracking every time that proposal that actually Robert and I kind of made together to review this ordinance, and it actually had been on the board's agenda I think 6 times between 2009 through the end of 2011, and each time it came to us with a request to take it off the agenda from staff because they weren't ready. And David will recall that I talked to him about that when he first got here, that, that we need to, like, get focused on that. And so I'm glad Robert's here tonight reminding us that we need to put more teeth in our affordable housing. And it may not be always requiring housing. It may be getting payments in lieu sometimes. But we need to get something back from staff so we can start a discussion on that soon.
And seven's a lucky number.
It's worth pointing out, we've had frozen staff positions in the planning department, and,
yes,
and we have
yes.
I mean, no, it's not, they haven't been just sipping lemonade up there or anything. This is a very active department, and this is actually among a couple other things that are on, you know, a list that, that we've been trying to get to you for some time. Anything? I just want to add, you know, my recollection is that the last time we had this discussion, the complaint was that all of the affordable housing, or too much of the affordable housing, was on the far western end of the development, and that it was that it was all going to be underneath the power line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now I'm hearing almost opposite, almost the opposite claim, that it's not satisfactory because not enough of it is over on the western end of the development. And there'll be plenty of other issues to think about any
cluster.
Possible future development changes at this site, but I don't hear the developer proposing to do anything that is, from the affordable housing perspective, really notably different than what he was proposing to do before.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for being here, Robert. And, you know, I don't want to see you again telling us that we're doing something that's not working. And this is not a criticism of staff. Or I know, it's totally frustrating, though, to have a formality to have a discussion about this because we have to talk about our affordable housing goal when someone's not going to meet the requirement that we have, or proposed requirement that we have. And it's sort of like crazy making to have a discussion about something we know that isn't working. And I'm sure I'll see you again say that. I feel like we need to move forward with this. If it's come before the board six times, maybe seven's a lucky number, but I don't want to hear it again. And so I hope that things move a little faster and that we make some decisions related to this.
So I need to kind of say a little more about my conversation with David to make clear that Mark's suggestion that I was somehow criticizing planning staff is not the fact, because, you know, really what I was talking to David about is how we establish priorities. So it's not a question of whether there was enough staff, it's a question of what the staff worked on. And I would just point out that staff has expended a lot of time reviewing Family Dollar and CVS, which I would suggest are projects that are not the board's top priorities, and that that's worth looking at, is how, you know, how priorities are set. And that, you know, and so
that raises some interesting questions that we'll have to address at a different time. But I didn't mean to suggest that you were, Dan, criticizing anybody in particular. I was just trying to clarify the overall context.
All right,
of the content. All right. Miriam Thompson, very briefly and on topic.
What makes you think I would? I just want to say that I come to this from the point of view of children and families and workers who are unable to find affordable housing in this town. And that, to me, I haven't heard anybody before, should be the priority of this council and Chapel Hill. Student rentals, which are taking over what remains of affordable rentals, are high-end, are giving landlords and developers big profits, but they are not providing affordable housing to the people that I represent. And increasingly, our children, since I work in the school system, are being traumatized because they're being displaced. That needs to be your moral marker when you come to talk about affordable housing. And if the developer answers this, I hope I heard him right, but if a developer answers our mayor's question, would you agree to partner with another affordable housing project, and he says, no, we're not interested, then I'm a little concerned about the developer and how much more time you should spend with the developer. You're right, maybe not CVS, but maybe this developer is taking too much time as well. And finally, I want affordable housing, and I will sneak this in, not 7 acres for a for-profit charter school. So I know we're going to have that discussion later. I just want this group to know that that's not affordable housing either, and that's putting more money away. Thank you.
Thank you, Miriam.
Thanks, Miriam.
There's no particular... There's no particular proposed action, is that right,
That's correct.
At this point? So we have had the discussion, and that is what we were slated to do tonight. So I believe that brings us to item D, all the way down to D10, is that right?
D7.
D7.
Oh, I crossed that off. Oh, wait, we added it back.